Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WORD with Philip Gentry and my fun-sized co-host, Bo Girl.
Hey, Upstate. Happy weekend.
Yeah. So how you doing, Bo Girl?
Hot.
Hot, yeah. Yeah. Been hot all week.
Yeah.
A little thunderstorm and all that stuff. Well, fortunately, you can listen to us wherever you're at, and we can take you away for a couple of hours and get you out of the heat or get you out of the weather, whichever one applies. And we got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to start out the show like we always do with the Upstate Outdoors blog. It's a blog that I wrote about a phenomenon that occurs, and it's mostly like around Columbia and all, but you know, a lot of folks have these houses, the purple Martin houses.
Yes, the gourds and
Gourds and all that, and they kind of migrate, you know, and a lot of people don't know that a purple Martin is a member of the swallow family. So I did the swallows of Carolina.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we'll educate you along with our listeners during our Upstate Outdoors blog. And then speaking of educating our listeners, we've got a guest, Andy Montgomery. Andy is from...
Local-ish.
Well, depending on how you want to look at it, he's either from Shelby, North Carolina, or is it Grover, South Carolina, Grover, North Carolina? Anyway, he's right up there.
On the line.
He's right up there on the line next to Shelby. I think Shelby's probably has his address. But he says, he always tells me literally that he's... He can go into the backyard and be in South Carolina.
He's going to be talking about his the inaugural season.
Yeah,
he's on the MLF tour.
Andy was a bass elite angler and then made the switch, like a lot of them, over to the Bass Pro Tour. And was talking with Andy a little bit earlier this week and was like, we got into that about, you know, there's still a lot of folks that are confused.
Myself included.
About, you know, how the Bass Pro Tour and the whole MLF fishing. So we're going to talk with Andy. He's going to give us a rundown of kind of how to follow that and how their events play out. So looking forward to that. And then, wow, this has been all over the internet and everything. Deer tags are being mailed, and that's the big news. You know, if you're already registered for a license, deer tags are on their way.
Did we get any of ours this week?
Not yet.
Okay.
But there are changes that are going to be happening. And if you were listening, actually, Jay Cantrell and Charles Ruth, they did a live Facebook feed. I think it was on Thursday. Yeah. That they were talking about some of the additional changes that are not published that much. And we'll get into all that. It has to do with bear season. It has to do with, obviously, deer tags. It also has to do with the use of deer scents.
Ah, yeah, that's a new one.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff in there. We'll talk about that. And then the second hour, Boat Girl's going to bring us the Roadkill Cafe.
We're making Cheez-It fish.
Cheez-It fish.
Cheez-It fish.
Is that like the crackers?
Yes.
Cheez-It?
Okay. I've never made this recipe, but yeah. It looks delicious and it's just something different.
Awesome.
So I'm going to make it tonight.
Can you make it white perch?
Yeah.
We got a bunch of white perch.
Yeah, we're probably going to make it with white perch. It is definitely white perch
season. That's all we got.
And that's about all that's in the freezer right now. So
okay.
White perch it is.
That's awesome. Then we've got a couple of news items. We want to talk about some announcements and all. One of them has to do with the PBC High School Tournament Trail. They've announced their schedule for the 2019-2020 season. So if you're a high school bass team here in the Upstate, and there are a ton of them.
There are.
We got a little information for you about that.
They're getting ready to get ready.
And then also got, it's kind of funny, this is an article from the Post and Courier, but it's about 955 acres, almost 1,000 acres being added to an Upstate South Carolina State Park. So give you some rundown on that. And then we'll run down to the coast.
Captain E.
And talk to our buddy Captain E. He's going to give us a Grand Strand fishing report. No telling what. No telling where we'll go with Captain E. Because
I know everything's still biting down there right now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's got some good fishing reports for us.
He's
a great guy too.
Yeah, I've been seeing some good fishing reports from down along the coast. So we'll talk to Captain E. And then wrap up our show. No, I'm sorry. We got the calendar of events. And if you didn't hear the promo this week, we are going to actually have Tom Landry.
He's had a long week, y'all.
Yeah, we're
okay. Look, has anybody said we are not radio professionals?
Yeah.
Okay, there.
We're going to have Troy Landry.
Landry.
Tom Landry from the Dallas Cowboys is going to be on the show with us. We're going to have Troy Landry. We're going to have his cousin from the swamp, Troy Landry.
Chilled him.
Yeah, is going to be on the show
next week.
Right, to promote the
We've been talking about the Outdoor
Dream. The Outdoor Dream Foundation's
Foundation
having,
fundraiser.
Yep, that's right. So we're going to have Troy Landry on the show next week, but we'll talk about the event that he's going to be speaking at. The calendar of events. And then our parting shot is about, hey, don't feed the alligators meth, okay? Just keep that for your local radio show host because sometimes they need that to get through the show. Obviously, they've been on that. But so it's a funny story on Fox News. So that's our parting shot for today.
I don't know where you get that stuff from.
Just find it. Oh, you mean the meth or the stories?
No, this story is on wildlife.
You go about any. You go down in the country and find about any trailer. Hey, man, how much is meth?
I hope not. I hope that's not what the world's coming to.
No, I hope
but
not too.
They're trying to predict to take their gators down.
Well, I got an update for our listeners.
Okay, what's that?
The Mouse Chronicles in the Gentry household.
Yes.
Let's see.
Where were we?
We had seen the mouse. And we saw him a couple times.
Of last week.
And it was, wasn't it like Saturday night? We'd seen him on Friday.
We saw him on Friday.
And then we saw him again Saturday night, and it was late.
Saturday night that we went to Walmart.
Yeah, what happened was we were in there talking, you know, after the show and that evening, and I think we'd been to dinner or something or whatever, and we were sitting in the office
again.
Talking. No, and the Joker comes walking through like, what up, yo? You know, and we were like, this is not happening.
When I screamed, that little Joker jumped about 2 feet in the air, and I'm like, it's like 10 o'clock. I'm like, we going to Walmart. So, PG's like, you mean we're going to Walmart at 10:30 on a Saturday night? And that is exactly what happened.
There are very few things that will get me into a Walmart on a Saturday night, you know, after dark, and having a mouse that bold in the house. Was one of them. So we went and bought 8 traps.
He made like a trap line. We were doing coyotes in the house. Little bitty tiny coyotes.
Little bitty trap line and baited them up. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you a little secret. People say cheese. People say peanut butter. No, bacon. Okay? You want to trap a mouse?
Who doesn't like bacon?
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, especially raw bacon, is it puts off a lot of odor. You know, right away, and put the trap line out. Boat girl went in there. I think she was actually taking a shower. Were you taking a shower?
Yeah.
Getting ready to take a shower. And I heard snap.
The traps weren't out 5 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't out 5 minutes.
That little Joker was not
scared. He come to eat the bacon. And
And we didn't have to fix any drywall at Bikini Bottom. No shooting in the house.
And
not this time.
That was it. So.
So the mouse is gone.
So the mouse is gone.
Until the next critter.
And no more mouse friends, because I've checked and all the little hidey holes and everything. Pulled the oven back and looked, because that's where he came out of, and saw where he'd gotten in, and it wasn't me.
No.
He'd gotten in where the wire comes through. They had...
What, behind the stove?
Yep.
I was blaming it on you for leaving the door open.
That was there, so... But anyway, so the mouse is gone, and we got a good show coming up for you, and we're going to go to our break and come back with the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Right here, 106.3 WORD. Y'all stay.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, well, this time of the show, when we do the Upstate Outdoors blog, and was sitting around looking for inspiration and kind of looked out the window and saw a bird, and I thought, and, you know, we don't do a whole lot of bird watching here.
We don't.
So, but if you're a lake person, a lot of folks do the bird houses or whatever around the lake.
I've seen a lot of that.
For the purple martins.
Yeah.
And so there's a phenomenon in South Carolina that a lot of folks don't know about that they come in. So I wrote the Upstate Outdoors blog about the swallows of Carolina. Romantics wax poetic about the swallows that return to the mission at San Juan Capistrano each year. Swallows migrate 6,000 miles from Goya, Argentina to San Juan Capistrano. In large groups. Now, the town of San Juan Capistrano welcomes visitors from all parts of the world to witness the return of the swallows, a tradition that has been celebrated since the early 1930s. Now, closer to home, Lake Murray, and particularly a small 12-acre island in the middle of the lake, is also home to an annual migration of purple martins, which are a large member of the swallow family. Now, during the day, purple martins busy themselves with feeding and hanging out around the shores of Lake Murray and surrounding areas. And that's not the only lake, too, but we'll talk about that a little bit. When evening comes, the birds retreat en masse to an island that locals refer to as Bomb Island to roost. Their numbers are so large that the swarms of birds darken the sky and are even visible on radar at the nearby airport.
That is so cool.
Go online
and
you can see.
I had no idea.
Now, Bomb Island, which is also referred to as Lunch Island or Doolittle Island on most maps, received its name from World War II bomber pilots who would practice bombing runs in preparation for the war in Japan. Now, the Doolittle Raiders, led by Lieutenant Colonel James Jimmy Doolittle, flew the first air raid to strike the Japanese mainland during World War II, and the attack was credited as proving the United States' prowess in attacking the self-proclaimed invulnerable Japanese mainland and provided quick retribution for Pearl Harbor. Okay, so, and they practiced over Lake Murray.
Dropping
bombs. And even, it was another side story, but there's actually a bomber in Lake Murray.
Yes, there is.
And there used to be one in Lake Greenwood.
Because
they used,
have recovered,
but they've recovered that one.
Said,
that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
Well, it's estimated that between 1/2 to 3/4 million purple martins fly to Bomb Island by the end of each summer. The roosting begins during mid-July and usually ends sometime in September when the birds fly to South America for the winter. As each evening roost begins during summer, area visitors and residents often anchor in the vicinity of Bomb Island, which is only accessible by boat, to enjoy the multitude of circling birds as they come into roost. Now, the area has been designated as an official bird sanctuary by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources and the Columbia Audubon Society, and no trespassing is allowed on the island during the summer when the birds roost. To a lesser extent, purple martins have also been known to roost around several area South Carolina lakes. Other ones, I mean, you see purple martins here and there. However, there's no roosting site that's as large or as popular as that's on Lake Murray. And for this reason, many area lake residents provide purple martin housing to attract the birds so they can enjoy seeing them. And providing purple martins with housing structures above docks and lake lots is a common activity for many lake residents on no matter what lake they live on. I don't know that I see them on Joe Cassie, but there's not that many houses on Joe Cassie
right,
anyway.
Right.
Let's see. One of the most important steps in attracting purple martins is choosing the right location for your martin housing. Martins prefer housing that is placed in open areas with clear flyways. You want to choose the center of the largest open spot available on your property, which is at least 40 to 60 feet from any trees and within 100 feet of human housing. Now, I don't know why it doesn't say, they actually... I don't know what the proximity to human housing is, what that has to do with it.
I don't know. And are they smart enough to know what that is?
And it doesn't say a minimum distance. But anyway,
Right.
In the southern half of the breeding range, martens may accept housing that is placed closer to tree coverage, but open areas such as that on the end of a boat dock or an other extension over open water is always best. Now, for more information on purple martens, you can visit purplemartin.org. Yes, there's a website for everything.
Yes.
And get you some more information.
I had no idea about the large migration on Lake Murray. I've never heard of that. I don't know where I've been. But that's really cool. We need to go down and see that before the summer's up.
It's this time of year, and I remember several years ago I went down and fished with Ben Lee was a guide down there. I don't even know if Ben's still guiding down there, but I was doing a story for Carolina Sportsman, then South Carolina Sportsman, and went down there with the editor and Ben Lee and the guy that I can't think of his name right now, the guy that was the originator of the old hog collar baits.
Yes.
Down in Union.
I threw a hog collar last Sunday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so he went with us, and we went fishing, and we got down there, and Ben and his wife, he invited his wife on the boat, and they were like, hey, we're going to get out early so we can go watch the martins roost. It was like, okay. Yeah. And I had sort of heard some about it, but wasn't real familiar. And so we went out there and kind of hung out, and it was a lot of people. And, of course, I think this was on a random Wednesday or something. So I'm sure there's more on Saturday.
More people, more birds. Yeah, birds more don't people. Care what
yeah,
day it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, they don't care. But the other thing about it was, I mean, you know, birds are pretty. Birds are nasty, too.
That's true.
Okay, so Bomb Island, it should be called Bird Poop Island.
Ooh,
during the
that
summertime.
Bad?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was bad enough. I mean, and they all roost on. Of course, they've been out feeding and flying around
and then coming back in for the poop.
So, yeah.
Well, you can't get too close to the island itself, though, according to
No, you can't get on the island at all. It's
you got to back up.
It's a no trespassing because it's a sanctuary. And you know, some years vary. There's more birds than others, you know, due to, I guess, fluctuating populations or weather patterns or, you know, whatever, the force.
Was it
know,
cool to see, though?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And the coolest thing, though, is if you go on and look online, and I've already seen it on the internet once, somebody's Facebook page, where they'll film, you know, on radar.
Yes.
At the Columbia Airport. And it'll look like a storm cloud coming up, and it's circular.
There's a lot of boat radars that have bird detection, too.
Yeah. Well, and so then they're that's what it is. It's not clouds. It's clouds of birds.
Clouds of birds. That is awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah.
How informative you are, PG.
Hey, you know.
That's what you do, right?
Yeah, that's what you do. And so, you know, the gourds or the multi-chambered houses and everything. The other cool thing that they said is if you put those up, put them so that they don't spin. Because the birds kind of get oriented to the way the opening is facing. And they want to...
Go straight in.
They want to go straight in. And they don't have to look. If they have to look or it changes, they'll abandon the whole nest.
Now I'll be riding around in the lake looking for purple martin houses.
Yeah, there you go.
Just check them out.
Gourds and stuff like that. Awesome. Well, let's go to our break because we got our buddy Andy Montgomery waiting in the wings. We're going to talk to him about kind of get some information about the Major League Fishing and the Bass Pro Tour.
Right here, 106.3 WORD. Y'all stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, our next guest on the show is no stranger. He's been on Upstate Outdoors before, and we've got Andy Montgomery from right up the road. He's our resident North Carolina, South Carolina professional angler. Andy, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, Andy.
Thanks, guys. Hello. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so the inaugural season of the Bass Pro Tour is kind of behind us, at least the Bass Pro Tour, but we've still got several events left and then the big events. So explain to our listeners, you went over to the Bass Pro Tour this year after Bassmaster, and kind of give us a rundown of how that works for the rest of the season.
It is a little confusing, and I think part of the reason it's confusing is because it's so new. And when we kind of get used to it, it'll just be what it is. But so we have the BPT Tour, the Bass Pro Tour, which is 8 regular season events. So we've already fished them, but we have 8 regular season events. And at the end of the 8 events, the top 30 in the points make the championship, which is called the Red Crest.
Okay, the Red Crest.
Okay. The Red Crest, which will be the third week of August. It'll be live on the internet. Just like all the BPT tours was live, BPT live, MLF live streaming is what they called it.
Do we know where the Red Crest is going to be held at yet, or are they waiting till later on?
No. We know it will be in La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the Mississippi River the third week of August.
Okay.
And that's going to be awesome.
So that's a good point that you bring up. The BPTs, we know where we're going. We get 2 days of practice, and that's kind of a league by itself.
Okay.
At the same time, we qualify for what we call cups, but I think a better analogy would be to call them majors, kind of similar to the PGA where they have 4 majors a year. We have 4 cups a year, which you qualify throughout the season by the first 2 events, the top 30 after them qualify, resets the next 2 events, the top 30 qualify for the next cup, resets the 5th and 6th tournament, the top 30 qualify for a cup. So if you can follow me, every two events, the top 30 after them 2 events qualify for cup/major. I think it's easier to understand if we call them majors.
Right.
So them events is also going on. Now, with them events, they are what we've become accustomed to with Major League Fishing as far as seeing it on TV.
Right.
They're filmed. There's no results released, and we don't know where we're going, so no practice. And then they air on TV the following year, and since no results are released, it's kind of like watching a live sporting event on TV.
So those are not
clears things up, man.
Those are not streamed live, correct?
So
no, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so as far as the Bass Pro Tour is done. I think you finished up about 15th, which is pretty good. Is that going to qualify you automatically for any or all of the cups?
So it qualifies me for the Red Crest, the championship.
Okay.
Which is a top 30 for the entire year. So all 8 events points, the top 30 in the points for all 8 events qualify for the Red Crest Championship, which will be streamed live. And like I say, it's the third week of August.
Okay.
It's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like within the season, a tournament within the overall season is every 2 events, the top 30 qualify for a major. You see, you follow me? So
yeah, okay.
And then it resets. So you basically have 2 events to qualify for a cup/major, all 8 events to qualify for the championship/Red Crest.
Okay. So
that's not as complicated as I thought.
No, it's not as complicated. And part of the reason we kind of jumped into this, part of the reason, and we're talking with Andy Montgomery, who is on the Bass Pro Tour, and so part of it is folks are saying, well, you know, gosh, it's exciting to watch, but it's kind of hard to follow. And I think one of the big changes too is because you guys fish during the regular season, you're fishing like a day or two, and then you get a day off, and so a lot of that coverage is actually on the internet.
Yes, it is, and I think a little bit different format is we all don't fish the same day, so there'll only be 40 guys out there one day. And then the next day there'll be another 40 guys. And until we learn this format and somebody tunes in and says, well, I didn't see Andy today. He must be knocked out. Well, that was actually my day off.
Right.
You know, and again, it's all new. So with time, you know, the format will be understood. And, you know, it's kind of like a, I guess you would say the playoffs in any other sport, you know.
Right.
You know, maybe one team ain't playing that day.
We've been kind of keeping up with it. And it is cool and interesting to watch. But I have to say that the most memorable moment of your season this year was the giant at the buzzer. All of this is timed, and you've got to have your fish in the boat by X minute, X seconds. Tell us a little bit about that. That fish was over, what, 8-9 pounds?
Hey, I think he was 9'4".
That's what I was thinking. I believe it was about 9 pounds.
Yeah, he was definitely over. It was a 9-pounder, but it wasn't exciting. We have breaks, we call them period breaks. I guess it would be in any other sport, it'd kind of be like the quarter.
Right.
You know, where you have a break, your time runs out, very similar to any other sport. And our rule is the fish has to be over the gunwale when time expires. It's almost like the basketball has to be through the hoop before time expires. No, it actually has to be released from your hand before time expires. But so, yeah, one bit of the water I was fishing was kind of dirty. I had one bite with like 7 or 8 or 9 seconds left, and I didn't realize it was that big. So I tried to boat flip it. I realized I just couldn't get it up, and when I seen how big it was. So it was a mad scramble. A lot was going on, too. And of course, a lot in my mind, just get my thumb in this big sucker's mouth. And I also had another competitor fishing really close to me, and that was Matt Lee. I could hear Matt Lee's official count, and I could hear my official count.
Oh, no.
and they wasn't on the same count. And it was so how I processed all this, I'm not sure. But my official was actually trying to watch me and watch the time on the iPad at the same time.
The video is definitely worth a watch on YouTube.
You can hear my official.
It's intense. The whole thing is intense.
It is intense. I mean, I was 1 second from having a 9-pounder not count.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, Andy, if folks are – what's the best way to try to get the coverage for the fishing that you guys do? What's the website where they can go to?
MajorLeagueFishing.com. That's the best place to follow. And, of course, as y'all know, in nowadays, it's all a social media age.
Yep.
Facebook, Instagram, but it's all Major League Fishing. And, yeah, you can go to the website, social media page, and it'll kind of help you follow along and learn as we go. Learn the process and our system.
Awesome.
Pretty exciting fishing there.
Andy Montgomery, thanks for being on the show with us. Had a great season so far, and we just wish you the best of luck in the rest of the season and in the Red Crest. And go bring home that trophy for us.
Sounds good. Hopefully we bring it back to South Carolina.
There you go.
Awesome.
Talk to you later, buddy.
Thank y'all.
Thanks, right. Andy.
Man, you're right. That fish, I watched that. Just it popped up like on Facebook feed.
It's insane.
Yeah.
How close it was.
None of that stuff is scripted either, and it was awesome. It was awesome to watch that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Especially being so close on the time.
Oh yeah. Well, let's go to our break. Then we got what do we got coming up after that? We're going to talk about the deer tag changes. We should have talked to Andy about that because he's a big deer hunter, too.
He is a big deer hunter.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to get him next time. So we'll go to our break, come back. We've got some deer tag news from South Carolina Department of Natural Resources.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 W.
Well, those of you who are deer hunters have been waiting patiently, some impatiently, by the mailbox. Because this is the time of year when deer tags start showing up, and everybody's like, man, I want to make sure I get my deer tags. And, Bo Girl, you got your deer tags yet?
No.
No.
Not unless you saw them in the mailbox.
They were not in the mailbox
today. I have not seen them.
Okay. Well, got this from the DNR news release. It's about deer tags and also some new regulations. South Carolina deer hunters should start seeing deer tags for the 2019 season in their mailboxes soon. And there's some significant changes, particularly to the antlerless deer tagging system. That's yes. Doe tags. New for this year, improvements in the antlerless deer tag program. A new law was passed by the General Assembly, which resulted in the elimination, hallelujah, of the 8 date-specific antlerless tags.
Yes.
Okay.
Great idea.
So instead of getting them eight tags and you got to get them, you got to do this and do that, you get 2 doe tags. Use anytime.
I like that.
Okay. I say use anytime. Anytime after September 15th if you're in game zones 2, 3, and 4, and after October 1st if you're in game zone 1.
Gotcha.
Up in the mountains. And a lot of them guys up here don't use them anyway because they don't shoot does.
Well, and we're not big doe hunters.
No, didn't kill a doe at all last year.
No. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't take the opportunity bow hunting.
Yeah.
But that would be it, and it would have to be early season. But with the new system, that opens up the possibility of getting that doe tag, harvesting that doe on a random Monday.
Well, in the random Monday when you know instead, and that was what they're talking about. And it actually, this quote's from Jay Cantrell, who's a DNR big game biologist, and we're going to either get Jay or Charles Ruth on the show in the next couple of weeks to shed some additional light on this stuff and how it came about. He says the improvement gives people more opportunity and the flexibility to harvest deer when it's more convenient for them. DNR numerous legislators had heard from hunters over the last 2 years that were limited because, you know, only certain Saturdays are doe days for those old tags. And so if you get bad weather on a Saturday or full moon or something.
Or you're like us and you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like us. You got to hunt. You know, yeah. But that's for people who want to harvest antlerless deer, which is, like you said, not a big thing in my book. I would, you know, that's just the way we manage those. So nothing against that. A lot of people don't get, you know, the opportunity to hunt as much as I do.
Right.
Or we do. Or I do. So.
Yeah, you get to go more than I do.
Yeah.
But.
Get to kill those big deer for
boat girl. Yeah, kill my deer out there. That's not happening this season.
let's see. So, and you're like, well, man, I could have killed 8 before. Now I could only kill 2. The harvest statistics show that 92% of South Carolina's hunters harvest 2 or fewer antlerless deer each season. And if you want the opportunity to take an additional antlerless deer, you can still do that because you can buy 4 more optional doe tags, which are good for any time, for $5 a piece.
Yes.
And then also you... you can buy the deer. There's been no changes in the deer, the antler deer,
the buck.
You know, the trophy buck
tags.
Deer. You still got those too. Residents that currently have an active annual or 3-year hunting license, a big game permit, combination license, or sportsman's license that will be valid when deer season begins on August 15th should automatically receive their free base set of tags in the mail. And they're asking hunters, they said, please wait until at least August 1st before you start calling and going
and blowing up the phone.
Blowing up
the phone down in Columbia.
Yeah. So, and they also, a little more information said license holders who were unsure about the status or the expiration date of their hunting license or big game permit or whatever can visit. They got a link on the on this news release, which is on the DNR.sc.gov. There's a lot of information there. They can go online and check their license status to see when or if their deer tags have been mailed.
I did do that this week.
Yeah.
After seeing the news release earlier in the week, I went into the SCDNR page, and there's a little link that you can click on that says view my license. I think that's what it says.
Yep.
Anyway, it says my tags were being mailed, but we haven't seen them yet. But I'm not going to call.
No,
before August 1st.
Yeah, we were late last year.
Yeah, and it's then, okay.
And then I think we get ours, and both of my sons come to our house.
Yes, everybody's
tags
comes.
And everything. So, and as a reminder, deer tags are not available over the counter at the point of sale vendors. You know, like if you're going into the Walmart or you know, wherever to buy your license.
Those come straight from the DNR office. Yeah,
but they are available over the counter at DNR offices in Charleston, Clemson, Columbia, and that's the farmer's market down there in Columbia, Florence, and York.
The parking situation is a lot better in Columbia now.
Yeah.
Since they've moved. They moved have a real down, parking lot.
They moved it down there to West Columbia instead of being downtown. And then they also say optional tags may be purchased by phone at 1-866-714-3611, or you can get them online and allow 7 to 10 days for tags ordered or requested online or any of that other stuff. And then the other thing that they didn't – I actually saw this week when Jay Cantrell and Charles Ruth were talking about, you know, the new DOE tags and do you have any questions, and I sat on there at work, you know, doing
watching.
This. As part of this legislation went through, and some people are upset about this and some are not, they have outlawed the use of natural deer scent, okay? So, like, deer pee,
yes.
Deer urine, buck lure, anything that is actually from a deer that you would put on the ground.
The synthetic stuff, no.
No, not the synthetic stuff, but if it's from a real live deer, if they collected this whatever, it's bodily fluid from a deer, it is now illegal for use in South Carolina. And, I got a good buddy of mine. We've had him on the show in the past, Kyle Clark from Doc's Deer Sense, and he's not happy about this, but lot of states are doing this, and they've got...
What that is for is because of, and South Carolina is obviously not affected by CWD, which is chronic wasting disease,
yep.
But other parts of the country have had some issues with chronic wasting disease, which is a disease spread from deer to deer.
Yep.
And so what they're worried about is by using natural fluids from deer that they can
they'll transmit.
You run the risk of transmitting CWD,
chronic wasting disease,
to places that don't have it.
Yeah,
and we South Carolina is very fortunate. North Carolina, they haven't had any reported cases of it. So regionally, we have not had any problems, and I think they're just trying to make sure that we don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it spreads that way, and I don't think they know if it does or not.
Well,
but
and
to
they,
be on the
they,
safe side, that's what they've
what
done.
What they said is there, you know, it can be spread through bodily fluids, chronic wasting diseases, and a lot of these, the doe urine and stuff that's collected are collected at farms.
Yes.
Where in of course, Kyle will make the argument that his deer are regulated and tested and all that stuff, but they're like, we're just not taking chances.
And they may be, but
we're not importing any deer, and even deer carcasses.
Right.
You know, you
transporting
can't
transporting from one place to the other.
From into South Carolina is illegal.
The industry as a whole, I'm not sure if the whole industry of deer sense is regulated.
Yeah.
I know his are. I know he's checking and testing and everything, but. You know, who knows what everybody else's companies are doing.
Yeah. Now, if you want to use stuff from a deer that you've harvested in South Carolina,
you can
do that. So
okay,
yeah. So we'll get Jay or Jay Cantrell or Charles Ruth on the show and talk more about that. But right now we got to go to a break.
Yeah, we're going long.
Yeah, because we're going to go long. So
we're rambling again.
We'll go to our break and then there's music.
Yeah, there it is.
We'll go to the end of the hour.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.